The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side. So Ira, I got this question that came to me. It's not the first time that someone's asked me this. And, you know, as people, you talk about getting ready for the for the college football season, getting ready for the, for the start of the 2022 campaign. How many days out are we now, Mr. Weintraub?
To the Michigan football season? The countdown starts next Michigan Thursday. Yeah, the countdown at 100 is next Thursday. So, I mean, it's another – nobody do math, Sam?
I'm sorry.
110.
I'm sorry.
110 days. I'll do math early in the morning. 110 days.
Yeah, so the question came to me over the weekend, and I'll read it to you. It says, I know Harbaugh isn't opposed to running a 2QB system, but I had heard Gattis was the biggest proponent when it came to playing 2QBs last year. I don't know why I didn't sense that there was much debate. So just to clear that up, it says, I know Harbaugh isn't opposed to running a 2QB system, but I heard Gattis was the biggest proponent when it came to playing 2QBs last year. If Cade is the starter, do you expect to see both QBs getting a share of the snaps each game? Ira, I saw this question, and I think, listen, I do not see a scenario where a healthy J.J. McCarthy, and by all accounts, and I've been keeping track, keeping tabs on his progress. We told you after the spring game that he was going to be, his throwing regimen was on pace, on track to increase. And as you heard from Jim, a little while after that, he confirmed that was indeed the case. Checked about how that's been going. We talked about that on the air, that, man, he's throwing it around, making it seem like, man, this was the right decision, the non-surgical intervention, the rehab exercises, the Tom House consultation, right? You know, whipping it like as good or better than ever. And so, you know, steadily ramping him up like you would a pitcher, right? That's what it was likened to me. You know, building his arm up so it's ready to go by fall camp. Mr. Weintraub, I cannot see a scenario where a healthy J.J. McCarthy does not play meaningful snaps in every single game. Even if K winds up being the starter, and I'm not handicapping, I'm not calling that race as decided yet. I can tell you who I think will win it. But I don't think it's decided already. I think that even if he winds up losing the job, you know, I just can't see a scenario where he doesn't play even more significantly than he played last season.
That's the statement that when people ask me, what are my thoughts? And I go, now, when we're 110 days before the season and we don't know a whole lot more than we did from the conclusion of last season, my expectation is that you're going to see two quarterbacks and you'll see the second quarterback play more than he played last year. What that means at the beginning of the year, I don't know. And how does that carry forward into September, October, and November? We don't know yet. And maybe on the first game of the year, it is Cade that plays 75% of the snaps. But that doesn't mean by week five that JJ's not the one playing 75% of the snaps. We don't know yet. JJ didn't have a chance to really do much in the spring. And right. So that puts him back, you know, sets him back a little bit. But now they have this entire summer to get ready and fall camp. And I expect fall camp to dictate a lot. And I also don't think that we're going to get an answer out of fall camp, you know, in the first day or days.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little time for them to – it's a true quarterback battle. And these are two quarterbacks that both have earned the right to play. And you're not going to take away the job from Cade right away. You know, even if JJ has an unbelievable fall camp – I don't think you're going to completely take the job away from Cade in the beginning.
I agree.
He won the Big Ten last year, right? He was very good for you. So there's going to be a balance in those minutes. I just figured the snap count, the percent of snaps that JJ played last year will go up.
It has to.
That's my answer.
And so, listen, I agree with you. I think if you know, as people are looking at the quarterback battle, I think you would be premature to call it over by the first game. I don't care how fall camp goes. This is a battle that goes into the fall, in my opinion. It goes in the games. And if JJ wins it, I think he wins it like Trevor Lawrence did. Or if he gets it, if he winds up becoming a guy, I think he winds up becoming the guy in season, like the starter, I should say, in season. They face different challenges. You know, what does JJ do with more snaps? You know, can he maintain a level of play with increased snaps? And the reverse for Cade, can he, in fewer snaps, can he maintain his level of efficiency? Can he maintain that performance with fewer snaps next year? And that's not a foregone conclusion that that's the case. But that's the challenge that is before him. And I think that's inevitable. I think no matter what, JJ plays more snaps this year.
Sim, I don't think but Cade can't maintain his rate, right? So say he plays a third fewer snaps, but the rate is the same. You know what I'm talking about? So same percentage. And you look at the amount of throws, and so you look at the yards per attempt, all that stuff. The rates can't even be the same as last year. They have to be better. And I'm not saying that he was bad last year. The point is, if you did that last year as in your first year as a full year as a starter, then your next year you have more experience on your butt. You're supposed to be better. So his rates shouldn't be the same. The rates should be better. JJ is coming from a different position because JJ didn't have a huge sample size to provide that kind of, to provide what his rate might be. But for Cade, he has to show. I'm not saying that he loses his job if it doesn't show that he's better, but I think he loses his job over the course of time if he doesn't show that he's gotten better, because we expect everybody to be better from where they were last year.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. The receiver weapons will be even better, right? Because you get Ronnie Bell back. You got some young guys that have some experience now in talking about Andre Anthony, who I think has a chance to have a breakout season. You get an experienced Eric All back. Experienced in being a playmaker, Eric All. All the ingredients are around you, and mostly intact offensive line. All the ingredients are there for them to be more explosive. You raise an interesting scenario, though. Because what he was last year was good enough to win the Big Ten championship. If it's not discernibly, if it's not tangibly better, are you banking on the upside? Then at that point, are you doing the Trevor Lawrence, Kelly Bryant thing because you feel like that can raise the potential of your offense, because remember, let's rewind the tape. Kelly Bryant wasn't worse. He wasn't worse. He had taken them to the playoffs the year before, and he didn't come back worse, Ira. You remember the scenario? He was pretty good over the first four games of that season. He wasn't better. He wasn't better than he had been before that. And so the choice that they made at that point, again, he led them to the playoff. The choice that they made at that point was, you know what? We feel like that this is the level that we can get to with Kelly Bryant. We feel like our potential is higher with Trevor Lawrence. They have both performed at a high enough level to be the starter, but we feel like the potential for us as an offense and as a team is greater with Trevor Lawrence. And they made the switch, even though Kelly Bryant was just as good as he was the year before. So it paints an interesting picture and raises an intriguing scenario, to say the least. Is the precedent. That's the one to look to, as a perfect example of a quarterback who had led them to great success. But the guy that he was competing with, he just felt like, man, all things being relatively equal, as far as practice performance is concerned, yes, you commend the guy that, took you on a ride, took you on a journey, But man, you just feel like you got a chance to go farther with the younger guy. We're going to go with the young guy, and it wound up working out for him.
Yeah, Sam, let's go back to now a different level of football, but let's go back to, I believe it was 2013, and about 8, 9, 10 games into the 49ers season, and their quarterback that had taken him to the NFC Championship game a couple times got hurt.
Yeah.
And he never came back to start again, did he? Because Colin Kaepernick replaced Alex Smith. Jim was ready to make that change, and the injury allowed him to make the change, and Kaepernick came to the Super Bowl, and they were within a play or two of winning the Super Bowl because he made the change for the younger guy. He's not averse to doing it. What he wants to do, he's going to find the guy or the combination of guys that gives him the best chance to win. And with San Francisco, Alex Smith was that guy for a little while, but then he realized that Alex Smith kind of had the ceiling. The team had a ceiling with Alex Smith.
Yep.
And so he went to a different quarterback.
Yep. Like I said, raises a very interesting dynamic as we – but I saw the question. It's like, man, I don't care what you think is going to happen as far as who wins the job. You can't think that J.J. is going to play the same amount that he played last year. Like, that's just not realistic. This is not realistic. There's no way that happens, barring injury. Knock on wood. Hope that that's not the case. And I was going to say that he's complacent, that he gets complacent and just doesn't work. But that's, you got to know the kid. And you know that's not going to happen. That will never, ever happen. From a work ethic standpoint, just dude will never be outworked. So he's going to play more. The question is, how much more? How much more will he play? You brought up the Super Bowl, Ira. I know some San Francisco people that say the game's different. It's a different ball game if the lights don't go out.
If the lights don't go out, the Ravens blow out the Niners. The Ravens were winning big when the lights went out, Sam. If the Saints paid their bill right, it wouldn't have mattered. That's how it felt. That power outage shifted the entire momentum of the game.
Okay.
That's how the 49ers fans spend more time complaining about a non-rightfully called or not called pass interference at the end of the game. The power going out helped San Francisco, did not help Baltimore. Baltimore was in control of that game when the power went out.
You think that's what turned the tide for San Francisco, gave them a chance to regroup with the power was out?
Could be. I don't know, but that's the timing of it. That's definitely the timing of it. If the power didn't go out, yeah, that's not even a game. I'm staying. And that's the story I'm sticking with.
They would have got rolled, Ira. They would have got rolled. Jim doesn't like you. He's about to call in. Say, Ira, we were going to get it. We were going to get it.
We talked about this like almost a decade ago now. When it's like 9 years ago, whatever it was, 8 years ago, when Jim was and John were here for the induction. I put my champion. I apologized in the moment, and Jim did not hold it against me, thankfully. I've worked for him since, so I'm good.
Yeah. All right. So another question I got during the meeting. I feel like I covered this topic before. So CJ Carr. Because I'm going to cover something different in a recruiting roundup. I'm going to give you a snippet from the this week's recruiting podcast, which, you know, we dealt with another prevalent question about recruiting class momentum. But I got a question about CJ Carr. He was at the Elite 11 Regional, did a recruiting update, and guy asks me on Twitter about Michigan standing with CJ, but asked it in a way that made me think that it was more of a troll type question. So I'll sort of skew more towards the one that we typically get on the website, which is Michigan trailing for CJ Carr? Is there work to do? Are they in catch up mode with CJ? And I believe they are. You know, the fortunate thing in that recruitment, so I'm going to give you the glass half full on that recruitment, is he is a year out, Mr. Weintraub. You got more time to catch up with this one than, say, Dante Moore. All right, so, you know, that's the glass half full perspective. You know you got the bloodlines that will always keep you right there in the mix. He is mentioning Michigan as one of the more prominent teams, but he has truly become a national prospect. Talked about Bama offering. And then Notre Dame and Michigan State, you know, give them credit, have done a great job of not letting the bloodlines get in the way of their pursuit. There are a lot of times where you see a man, guy is, he's in Ann Arbor. His name is Carr. His mom, his dad, his granddad's, everyone's Michigan, right? There are a lot of schools that would say, you know what? I'm not going to even recruit that guy. Not hard, not seriously anyway. We'll throw an offer out, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time and effort on a guy that will never, ever come here. And this was the question was, Sam, is CJ Carr officially not interested in Michigan? That is not true. That is not true. CJ has interest in Michigan, as if I need to say that, right? That's what made me think it was a troll thing. Now, is there catch-up mode? Yeah, I believe there's catch-up mode on that one, that there is some work to do on that one. Compared to some other instances, their assistant coaching dynamic has been a more constant from an OC and quarterback coach scenarios. It's been more time for those coaches to start establishing relationships. And so I see that process, really taking hold. And then you got Mike Hart jumping in at recruitment. I think I mentioned that before. He has some real connections there. So there's reason to believe that you're going to be able to gain some ground. And like I said before, I don't think that you'll see a scenario where CJ and Dante go to the same place. So let's say you lose out on Dante Moore. I think, not to say that either guy is afraid of or that CJ is afraid of competition. I don't believe that for a second. But only typically one quarterback plays, right? I mean, it's not like you typically see a quarterback rotation. We are talking about an atypical scenario with Michigan next year, potentially. So what you most of the time see is a guy, they see a five-star in the class right before him. That tends to not be the case where guys stack on one another like that. So I say that to say, I think that their chances, just based on the pathway to playing time, I think their chances improve in that regard. That wouldn't make it a slam dunk. Don't get me wrong and don't get it twisted. I think just on the merits, Michigan has some work to do in that recruitment. I do believe that it's a little bit of a climb. I do believe they're chasing Notre Dame, in my opinion. Like I said, I think Michigan State has done a really good job there. Wisconsin for a time, but again, Michigan right there in the mix, to the point where I wouldn't go saying that this is this isn't the kind of incline that Dante Moore is, for instance. So, I guess there are some that are a little bit put off that it's an incline or an uphill battle at all. But it's, the incline on this one isn't that steep, in my opinion, especially with the amount of time that you have to make up the ground. And they have time to make up the ground here, fortunately. So, no, it is not true that he isn't. I don't know where that started. It is true. I do believe that they are playing some catch up there. But we'll get into recruiting roundup and talking about recruiting class momentum. Now, there were expectations that coming off of a Big Ten championship, playoff appearance, beat Ohio State, that it was going to, you're going to see this class take off in the way that the last class finished, right? Where Michigan, they were one of the strongest closing programs in the country as far as recruiting is concerned. I mean, you think about the guys that got down the stretch. I mean, it was, they definitely made waves. And so the expectation was that was going to seamlessly carry over into the start of this recruiting campaign. And have been fielding a lot of questions, because you look up, you see Notre Dame's the number one class in the country, and Ohio State is number four, number five, and Michigan State was top 15 at last year. All three rivals ahead of Michigan in the recruiting rankings, and so that you know, grabs a lot of people. Say, well, what? I mean, is what's going on? Is it time to panic? What's the deal with the recruiting momentum? We address that in the most recent episode of the Michigan Recruiting Insider. We'll give you a snippet of that on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.